What's up, guys? Welcome back. This is the Fantasy Bomb on Rotoballer. I'm Pierre Kemmel with me, Chris Mangano. As always, Chris, how's quarantine life for you?
It's all right. It's all right. I've been staying busy, doing what I can. So it's been okay. How about you?
I cannot complain. I kind of feel bad saying I'm loving it, but I'm kind of loving it because, working from home is kind of what I've been hoping for. I'm actually sleeping. That's nice. Get to sleep in. You'd be proud. I'm working out, actually. And one thing I have not done, as you can see, is get a haircut. So that's going to take some more time.
Yeah,
but
I know. That's tough right now. Tough to get those haircuts.
If that's the only thing I have to, worry about, then I think pretty good. And best of all, a lot more time on my hands to do some best ball drafts, which, not going to lie, just this week I've jumped into three at the same time. So I figured what better thing to talk about than best ball drafts, ADP values. And now we already got our late values episode up. You want to talk about guys to target. And of course, this is our pre-NFL draft edition because we're still going on, right? As far as I know, the draft is nothing will stop the NFL.
Apparently not.
All right, so they're gonna have a big Zoom meeting with like all 32 GMs, I guess, and I don't know how that works.
I cannot wait for this. How many bad? I just can't wait. There's gonna be so many. Like, we're gonna have like Zoom crashing. We're gonna have like people's internets going out. It's gonna be awesome. Can't wait for this. It's gonna be hilarious.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the first team that claims that they were hacked. We didn't want to. Didn't you say that? Was it? You said a couple of weeks ago you're hoping that that something happens like that, right? That somebody blames technology.
Yeah, and I just can't wait for the first team to pick a player who's already been picked. Back to when you do like fantasy drafts where you go over to somebody's house.
Uh-huh.
There weren't computers or anything, and you just had your piece of paper or whatever, and you had the big board.
Yeah, the big board with the colors.
And there'd always be somebody in the draft who would say, like, oh, I'll take so-and-so. And like, dude, he's already been picked, right? Like, there's always, every draft, like, that's going to happen. Because these guys, like, a lot of these guys are old, man. They don't know how to use Zoom and stuff.
Now, you think technology would eliminate that problem, but, like, that's a good point. It might actually be the opposite problem. They're like, wait, what is it? Which button do I press to tick the guy? And it's like, yeah. Now, I'm sure they have people to do that.
Not only that, are they even going to know, like, who's been picked? Like, are they even going to know what picks other teams are making? How are they going to relay that? How are these guys going to know that?
We shall see.
And
it'll
sure
be interesting.
Are going to have it online somewhere where you can see it, but are half of these GMs going to know how to do that and be able to follow it?
All I know is at some point, though, Mel Kiper will be involved. He will be on the TV. He'll find a way to make his presence on the TV, and he'll tell us what's going on.
It's piano, like, they'll bring one cameraman to his house and just keep him 6 feet away.
There you go. But he'll look much closer. It'll be 6 feet, but it'll be like right.
Oh, they'll have a nice camera. They can zoom in nice and close. Get that hair. Really get that hair.
Yeah, that's what I'll go for. I'm going to go for the Mel Kiper look.
There you go.
No, I won't. But before the draft happens, you know what? Take my advice. Jump into best ball draft now because you can take advantage of the things that you just know are going to happen, even though we don't know what's going to happen. But you know that you might know that they could happen. So let's talk about this. We've already talked about our values, guys, that, obviously things are going to change, right, when landing spots are determined. But there's some guys right now that just regardless, the ADP, it's just way too rich for my blood. And I know you feel the same way. We're usually pretty much on the same page, a lot of these guys. And I think a lot of these guys, we kind of warned some people against last year and they didn't listen. And now they're back for more. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I don't know why, but let's start with your favorite, your personal favorite, Kenyon Drake. So, AKA Groundhog Day, because he's a top 20 pick. Kenyon Drake is now a top 20 overall pick. And again, we're looking at ADP for best ball 10s, because it's kind of like your standard best ball scoring format. And this is ADP from just the month of April, right? So after free agency, after everything that's, gone down, but before NFL draft. So right now, Kenyon Drake, number 17 overall. Tell me how that makes you feel.
Makes it feel like I don't want to draft Kenyon Drake. And it also, you know what also makes you feel like? It makes you feel like a couple things. It makes me feel like Kenyon Drake 2018 and Damian Williams 2019.
Both former Dolphins.
Yeah. Because look at what Kenyon Drake did at the end of 2017. Right? So starting from week 12, I think it's about when he started his run this year, isn't it? Something like that. He had 120 yards and a touchdown. Another, 21 yards in the air with three more catches. He had 114 yards, 78 yards, only 57 yards week 15. But then he bounced back with a 75-yard game. And people rolled into 2018 because, remember, he was on Miami then. And now it was like, oh, now Kenyon Drake is the number one guy in Miami. And I think he was I remember doing a bunch of best ball drafts in 2018, and he was going in like the fifth round. Everybody thought that was an amazing value. Now he's going in the second round. And I get it. He had an awesome end to the season last year. But look at Damian Williams a couple years ago. Had an awesome end of the season after Kareem Hunt got literally kicked out of the league. And then Spencer Ware got hurt, and then Damian Williams tore it up down the stretch. And it's like, well, he's the guy in KC. And then look what happened. Like, when you have these guys like Kenyon Drake, who's been in the year now, who's been in the league now, last year was his fourth year, and he's only topped 800 yards one time.
The thing is with Drake, like you said, he wasn't given the starting job in Miami. All right, the competition wasn't fierce to be the Miami Dolphins running back. Now, he only kind of made it onto the Cardinals' starting running back job because David Johnson just broke, right? He's just broke now, although the Texans don't think so. Bill O'Brien doesn't think so. But David Johnson just wasn't doing it, right? And he was hurt, and so they're like, oh, we need somebody. Who's available? Like, oh, nobody wants Kenyon Drake. Let's take him. He did a pretty good job last year. You know, everyone remembers, of course, that game we had like four touchdowns when nobody started him. But this is recency bias at its finest, right? And we love to remember second halves, right, when guys go crazy. But look at the full picture, right? I mean, if you're drafting in best ball, you're stuck with him, right? You're stuck with him as, I guess, your RB1, because if you're drafting him 17 overall, unless you took a running back and then maybe you took another running back, but he could be your first running back. But you're stuck with him all year. And all year, show me when he's done something worth being a top 20 back, much less even an RB2. I mean, he hasn't even been worth being a, you know, your. So it's not like you can take advantage of those good weeks, not the bad. This is best ball. You're going to get what you get out of him, right? And you want more than just like four good games if you're drafting him high.
No, when you're drafting guys this high, these are the guys that are going to be in your start. You expect to be in your starting lineup week after week after week.
Right.
So yeah, I agree. And again, I mean, look at Damian Williams last year. It's very similar situation where Damian Williams tore it up down the stretch, won people fantasy championships, just like Kenyon Drake won people fantasy championships last year. And that's what we remember. There's a reason these guys have been on multiple teams. There's a reason they haven't been given 200 plus touches. You know what I mean? There's a reason.
And the thing is, we don't hate Drake, right? I mean, he's a talented guy, but he was never meant to be like a workhorse back, right? He came out of college. He was never even a workhorse back in Alabama. I mean, he was a guy who's, you know, could be a kick returner. He could be a change of pace back. He's good at catching the ball. And he's not that guy. He's not going to be David Johnson from like 2016. And I think that's, for some reason, people think that he's going to be. That's better. Not too much better. But the Devin Singletary, 27 now. Granted, we were a little harsh on Singletary last year before the draft. We didn't think he was going to, really get a lot of touches. We thought he wasn't going to, you know, do much other than pop an occasional long run. He's got the speed, but he doesn't have the size, enough toughness. We thought change of pace back and that's it. So he did actually pretty well, even though he never got the majority of carries because Frank Gore, of course, GOAT. But here's the thing. Yeah, maybe he'll be the top guy in Buffalo. I still don't see him getting 20 plus touches a game. I think they're going to use him kind of how they're using him. And I really have a strong feeling Buffalo does bring in another running back because they haven't yet, but the draft hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think they could. And
You also have the issue of Josh Allen, who is going to basically, you know, kind of steal touches from Devin Singletary, right? When you get these running quarterbacks.
Right.
And he's not necessarily on a prolific offense that's going to march up and down the field. And I agree with you. I don't, he's definitely not a 20 plus touch guy. So when you're drafting him here in this, at this range, I don't know what you're really, you know, expecting. I mean, you're expecting what, like RB2 type numbers week in and week out. And I just don't know if that's what's going to happen here. I mean, you're right. I did not like Singletary much coming into the draft last year. I didn't think he was going to do very well at the NFL. Proved me wrong. He played very well in his limited spots. When he got his chances, he looked good. But again, is he going to get the volume necessary to pay off this ADP? And I don't think so.
He's not going to get the touchdowns, not just because of his size. But like you said, Allen's going to vulture him. They're going to bring in another guy. Trust me, they're going to bring in another guy, probably a bigger back, to get the short yardage, to get the goal line touches. So there's definitely a cap there. He's just not going to be a workhorse back. But even so, I mean, 27, let's see, who else is going around that same area who we'd prefer? He's going right now. Okay, I'm not going to talk about rookies, right? Jonathan Taylor, we don't know yet. He's going before Todd Gurley. Okay, I get maybe the injury concerns with Gurley. But Gurley in Atlanta, I'd still rather have him than Singletary.
For sure.
Melvin Gordon, yeah, Lindsey's there and whatever, but I still would feel better about Melvin Gordon than Devin Singletary, just to me personally. I'm not a fan of Le'Veon Bell. Chris Carson, I'd rather have Chris Carson than Devin Singletary.
Oh, for sure. Chris Carson, for sure. I'd rather have Le'Veon Bell, to be honest. I mean, people look at Le'Veon Bell last year and they're like, oh, he sucked. Yeah, he's not going to score a lot of touchdowns in that Jets offense because it's the Jets and they have Adam Gase. But he's a guy that's going to give you, he's going to give you 15 to 20 touches every week. And he's going to be decent, especially in a PPR format, because he's going to get his 3 or 4 or 5 catches. So I think I would take Le'Veon Bell over Devin Singletary, to be honest.
Yeah, I probably would too. I wouldn't take Le'Veon Bell. I just wouldn't. But I'd rather have him between the two, you know, if I had no other choice than that, then yeah, I would. The problem is Singletary, you know, talked about not probably going to get a lot of goal line touches, red zone touches there. And there's not really a high floor as far as being a receiving back. You think a guy who's, you know, as big would be better catching the ball. 29 catches last year, less than 200 yards receiving. So you're not getting that floor either. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Speaking of recency bias, we talked about earlier, AJ Brown. There's no doubt A.J. Brown was a monster, right? One of the best rookie wideouts, and that offense was totally different in the second half. I think we've talked about this before. I have a feeling we have. All right, talk about Ryan Tannehill and that whole thing. We're not going to see a full season's worth of offense like the Titans put up in the second half last season.
No, I mean, unless you think that Ryan Tannehill is going to be that good again. No, we definitely aren't. I think A.J. Brown is being overdrafted everywhere in every format. He's being overvalued in every format. I'm surprised he's not higher just because of how high people are on him. It just seems like A.J. Brown mania is crazy right now. And I get it. He's got the ceiling. But like you said, you're drafting a guy here in the third round, probably your wide receiver 2. More than likely, like if you went running back and then wide receiver, or maybe if you went running back, wide receiver, here's your wide receiver 1. So these are the guys, again, you're counting on to be in your lineup every single week. And I just don't know if we're going to get that from A.J. Brown this year. I mean, yeah, this year. I think he's gonna have some nice games. He's a great player. He's going to have some nice games, right? But is he going to give you that week-to-week consistency that you need from these top-end guys when you're drafting somebody this high? And I just don't think you're going to get that.
Well, and realistically, I mean, think about it, there's a lot of people, especially now these days, who go running back first 2 rounds, or, you know, you might grab one of the tight ends first, Kelsey or Kittle, and that's the case. You got to get a running back then. A.J. Brown is going to be the wide receiver 1 on a lot of fantasy teams this year, just because, you know, if you're waiting now, probably if you did that, you know, running back, or running back tight end or whatever, I would hope you would take a guy with a higher floor as your wide receiver 1, but I mean, you never know. There's some people who are just convinced that's it. He already is. He is a wide receiver 1. And I think you know, we could say, we'll point to, you know, let's say Juju, right? Juju Smith-Schuster. He's the youngest player in the league, right? And he stepped up and he was putting up wide receiver one numbers, you know, before last year, you know, but it's not the same thing, right? This is not a dynamic pass. This is still a run first offense, right? It's always going to be a run first offense. And I think Brown, he kind of parlayed a lot of his run after catch ability into those big plays, but that's not sustainable necessarily to extent. Yeah. He was a rookie. They weren't focused on him, right? Defenses did not focus on A.J. Brown. They were worried about Derrick Henry, right? They didn't think Tannehill was going to do what he did. They didn't think A.J. Brown could do that. I think it's pretty safe to say now defenses are going to be hip to that. He's not going to take anybody by surprise. The Titans aren't going to take anybody by surprise. So besides just, oh, regression, right? Which, oh, maybe won't happen. But that's the thing, that kind of the element of surprise is gone now. And that's something that, you know, it's hard to factor in.
Yeah. But, and you talk about Juju, but Juju had Big Ben.
Right.
We're talking about Ryan Tannehill. Look at what happened to Juju last year without Big Ben. If Ryan Tannehill reverts back to old Ryan Tannehill, what is that going to do to AJ Brown's value? It's going to crush it. So, yeah, this is just too rich for my blood for sure.
Just like Ryan Tannehill crushed my soul so many times. Let's not talk about old Ryan Tannehill anymore. Okay. Let's talk about Darrell Henderson. I know we were kind of warning everybody away from him all preseason last year. Hopefully you listened. He was going, what was it, like fifth round last year, I think, people, and this is redraft. I'm not even talking best ball. In redraft leagues, people were taking Darrell Henderson as their RB2. I saw him go, I'm not kidding you, in an expert mock, I saw Darrell Henderson going in the third round of a redraft league. And yeah, that was insane. But I guess now that Todd Gurley's gone, this is the year, right? This is it. It's going to happen. Darrell Henderson is going to be a thing. Is Darrell Henderson going to be a thing?
I mean, define a thing.
A thing worth taking at 71 overall.
Probably not. The problem I don't think is Devin Singletary as much as it is the situation, the Rams. I don't think the Rams have not shown in any way that they're ready, that they believe Devin Singletary is ready to be the guy.
Henderson.
So I don't see why that's going to change now. I mean, yeah, they released Todd Gurley, but who's to say they don't go out and draft a running back? Or, you know, they still have Malcolm Brown, who they've shown that they like for whatever reason. I don't think Malcolm Brown's going to necessarily be the guy, but I don't think, I mean, maybe there won't be a guy this year in for the Rams. Maybe they'll, you know, these guys will split. I just don't think you're getting the guy, like the Rams guy here. So I don't know. I don't really see the upside here, especially if they draft somebody, which they could certainly do. So, yeah, this is like another guy I think is being overdrafted.
And that's the thing. As you mentioned Malcolm Brown, what I've seen, and who knows, it could be all smoke or whatever, but talking about they're going to share responsibilities at running back. This isn't going to be – they're not going to have a guy, right? They're going to have Henderson working sometimes, like probably Brown on the early downs, Henderson on passing downs, mix it up, maybe change series. Who knows? But, again, you're talking about Darrell Henderson at 71. Malcolm Brown's going 165. You could get the exact same production, right, 100 picks later, because they probably will have the exact same production. Like, I feel like that's – Henderson's ceiling will be the same as Brown. And who's going to get the red zone touches? Right, the bigger guy who has more experience and runs between tackles, probably. So I would take Brown. I'm not saying Brown's like a great value at 165. I think he probably is, but I'm not chasing him necessarily. But Henderson at 71, people just want him, right? They want him to be a thing. They want, like, he's going to be the guy now. Like, no, he could have been the guy last year and he didn't. You know, Gurley wasn't bad. It's not like he wasn't, but Henderson, he did nothing, right? I mean, was there some? Did he have some big game or did show flash? Was there something I missed, I guess?
No, I don't. That's what I'm saying. Like, what what have we seen that would make you believe, like, okay, Henderson's going to be the guy? Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be more like a split, maybe even slightly in favor of Malcolm Brown, especially in early down work. So, yeah, scrap Malcolm Brown 100 picks later.
Just to verify, make sure I'm not going crazy. Okay, 39 carries for 147 yards. That's less than 4 yards per carry, and he caught four passes. That would be a pretty big breakout if he was all of a sudden a top 75 fantasy player. So I'm not going to count on that.
No.
Now, this one's interesting. Let's end with one that some people would say is wrong. Marquise Brown at 75, he had his moments, right? And again, we said this in the other one, our late round values. In best ball, you're chasing the ceiling, right? You don't necessarily need a guy who's consistent. You want the guy who could have those big plays, those big games. And Marquise Brown did, right? Tied to one of the best offenses, the best quarterback in the league, maybe. Is it just the ADP? Is it just too high having him 75, or you just don't think he's worth it because it's just so all or nothing with him? There's too much nothing sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at his game log last year. I talked about ceiling, but when you're talking about a guy who only has three ceiling games a year, you can get that much later in the draft. You don't have to draft the guy that's early. Like, let's look at his games. Okay. He came out on fire, four catches, 147, two touchdowns, and all of a sudden he was the greatest wide receiver ever. And then he followed that up with 8 for 86, and everybody's like, see, he's the greatest wide receiver ever. Then he didn't top 50 yards again until week 7, when he had 4 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. And then he didn't even get to 50 yards the rest of the year. So literally, you got three games. You got three. I think he had a game in there where he had three catches for 22 yards and a touchdown. And then he had like a 5-catch, 42-yard, 2-touchdown. Game, so I guess you're okay with those games. You're like, okay, those are pretty good. But my point is, like, touchdowns are very, you know, 2-touchdown games, those don't happen all the time, right? Those are very rare. Like, you're not getting a lot of ceiling games here, and when you're not getting the ceiling games, you're getting nothing. Like, he's not even in your lineup. Right? He's not even in your lineup. And again, you're drafting him, what, 75? This is like, what, round 6, 7, something like that, or right around that range, round 6, 7. You still want a guy. I mean, yeah, this, when you're getting to this range, you're not necessarily drafting a guy who you expect to be a stud every week, but you're expecting a guy who's going to crack your lineup, you know, at least half the time, if not more. And you're just not going to get that with Marquise Brown. And like you said, Lamar Jackson's going to run the ball 15 times. They're going to hand the ball off another 25 times. There's just not a lot of volume in this offense for receivers. And we know Andrews is the target guy. He's the guy getting all the targets, right? I just don't see it with Marquise Brown. I mean, I know he's got that huge upside, but if it's only a few times a year, what good is that?
Right. And you can make an argument looking at, you know, that range, who's going around there. A lot of these receivers are like that. It's boom or bust. I mean, you got guys like just ahead of him to 73 is Will Fuller. I mean, yeah, the ceilings, he could have a 200-yard, 3-touchdown game, and he'll do nothing, or he'll just be hurt. So very much the same. And you got like Christian Kirk, right? Kind of a big play guy, speed guy, but also disappears. But the difference, like you said, Marquise Brown, that's a run first, second, and third offense, right? Like, once in a while, make those splash plays. But talking about a Ravens receiver versus like Christian Kirk, who's going a little bit after him. Okay, yeah, he's an air raid offense, a team that's going to spread it out and throw it, you know, 50 times a game. There's a lot better chance that Kirk's going to come up with something as opposed to nothing. Like you said, you just don't want that nothing so consistently. You know, Julian Edelman, yeah, it's kind of shaky. We don't know who the quarterback is in New England, but still, I feel like he'll still have a pretty decent floor. You know what I mean? And he's still a top receiver there in New England. I'd rather have him. Darius Slayton. I know you love Darius Slayton. You'd rather have him, even though he's probably the third receiver, technically, with the Giants. That's a team that's going to pass the ball probably more often than the Ravens, and he still has, you know, that same big playability, but he's more of a focal point of the offense.
Yeah, when you turn us off here go look at Marquise Brown's game logs, and you will see what I'm talking about. I mean, you're talking 22 yards, 22 yards, 23 yards, 1 yard, minus two yards on 3 catches. How do you even do that? Is that a typo? Can't be real. I guess it is. 6 yards, 15 yards. I mean, we're talking about nothing. Like, rock bottom, nothing. Like, you're getting nothing from him. Look at Darius Slayton, who, you know, really had a great breakout year last year. 80 yards, 62 yards, 121, 67, 154, 8 touchdowns. 50 yards. Like, yeah, he's got just as much upside, in my opinion, as Marquise Brown. He's going to give you many, many more, like, wide receiver three, wide receiver four flex type of weeks. Marquise Brown, you're going to get three wide receiver one weeks, maybe one or two flex weeks, and you're going to get nothing the rest of the year. You're like, nothing. That's all you're getting. So, yeah, I would much prefer Darius. And we saw, especially when Daniel Jones became, like, the guy, that was when Darius Slayton really started breaking out. And like you said, like, they're going to throw the ball more in New York than they are in Baltimore.
You know, that's exactly it. Again, not about the player himself. Brown would be a great player to target as maybe third, fourth receiver if he was 30 picks later, maybe, after the 100th pick. But at this point, you could probably do better, and you're not going to get as enough return on your investment here. So, yeah. Again, not saying don't draft Marquise Brown, but 75th overall, probably not.
Yeah.
All right, so those have been our early avoids before the NFL draft for best ball. Don't avoid this channel. Hit subscribe. Hit the notification bell. We're here every week. Put out some content for NFL because draft is on its way. We're going to talk about football all off season long. There's going to be plenty of storylines going on. So keep up with the latest. We have our updated rankings on the site. Again, go to rotoballer.com and check for the latest. Thanks for watching.